You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. And so may the words of my mouth and the inspiration of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. And for the next few Sundays, the three Sundays that we have before our confirmation at the end of November, I'm going to go back to an old faithful sermon series. I think this is about the third or fourth time over the last 6 or 7 years that I've gone back and spent some time looking at some hymns and their stories and what they remind us about our faith. Over the last 5 or so weeks, we've been looking at the story of the Reformation and Martin Luther. And I believe one of the great things that he was very keen on was hymn singing in churches. Because as we sing our hymns, we are singing the truths of God. And I think that is not any less important today than it was 500 years ago and over the centuries. So the first hymn, why did I pick it? Well, in some ways, the hymn that we're going to sing that's on the weekly sheet is one that I picked at random. It's one that I'd kind of known in the background, but a few years ago I was asked to do a funeral of someone who had passed away in England and was coming to be laid to rest. And this was one of the hymns that they sang at the memorial or funeral service. And I suppose it's always been in my mind, but I genuinely knew nothing about the hymn, or I knew nothing about the writer, the author of the hymn. And the hymn that we're going to look at is the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." And it's written by Horatio Spafford. So who was Horatio Gates Spafford to give him his full name? What's his story? Why did he write the hymn? And what does it remind us of the truth of God? What I've got to say as we come to the story, I suppose the word that I would use is tragedy. His story is filled with tragedy. So be prepared. Well, he was born in New York State in October 1828. Apparently, he was a prominent American lawyer and a partner in a thriving law firm. So I'm sure it is fair to say he was wealthy. He was wealthy. And he owned lots of property, as we'll see in a few moments. He was a devout Christian, though, and his faith was a mark right through his life. He was an active member and elder in his church. And family-wise, he met and he married his wife, Anna Larsen, who was from Norway in 1861. Life, I'm sure, was good. However, tragedy came in great measure to his home. When he was 4 years old, their son Horatio Jr. died of scarlet fever. Now, if I said no more than that, you would say that was tragic enough, wouldn't you? You would say that was sad enough, but the story sadly continues. A year later, in October 1881, apparently a massive fire swept through downtown Chicago. It devastated the city, and it included many properties owned by Horatio and Anna. They lost much of their wealth. 2 years later, in 1873, Spafford decided that his family should take a holiday in England. Knowing that his friend, the great evangelist D.L. Moody, was preaching there in the autumn, he sent his wife and his 4 daughters before him, and then once he had finished some business, he was going to join them. And so they headed off for England. His daughters were 11, Anna, 9, Margaret Lee, 5, Elizabeth, and 2, Tanita. You can almost guess what's coming, can't you? On the 22nd of November 1873, as they were crossing the Atlantic, not far off the coast of sort of England, Wales, their vessel was struck by an iron sailing ship. 226 people lost their lives. The boat sank in only 12 minutes. All 4 of Horatio Spafford's daughters perished. But remarkably, Anna Spafford survived the tragedy and immediately sent a telegram to her husband, who I'm sure had heard the news, but this is what the telegram said. Saved alone. Saved alone. Tragic. It continues. Receiving Anna's message, he set off at once to be reunited with his wife. Now, stories differ at this point. Some say that after the captain called him to the bridge as they passed the spot where his four daughters had perished, that Spafford immediately wrote the lines of the hymn that we know. Others say that it came a couple of years later. But in some respects, that really doesn't matter. The tragedy is what inspired him to write the words. It's from this deep place of despair that he writes his hymn that is first published in 1876. You have it on the order of service. And this is the first verse that he writes. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. You can understand the hymn a bit better now, can't you? In fact, the words echo our reading from Psalm 42. Tragedy is nothing new in life. Tragedy is part and parcel of our experience of life, sadly. And as we look at that psalm, we pick up that the psalmist is in deep despair. It opens in verse 1 with an image of a thirsty deer drinking from the cool waters of a stream on a hot day. The water is refreshing, it's re-energizing, and it's renewing. One of the things I enjoy before I get ready for a service is the little bottle of water that is left for me. And after two warm services and running the roads, the water is very welcome, it's refreshing, it's re-energizing, and it's renewing as I continue on. But of course, the psalm, as the psalmist writes, it is not just talking about a physical drawing and drinking of a water. He's talking about that spiritual sense of coming before God's presence and allowing God to refresh, re-energize, and renew. And as we read a little further in the psalm, we can see that the psalmist is in a tough old spot. Part of him wants to draw close to God and knows the importance of drawing close to God and drawing or drinking in his presence. And the other part is wondering, where is God? Through the tears that has been his food day and night, where is God? And the temptation to withdraw from his faith and withdraw from all that is around. But during those times where God seems far, the psalmist says that it's the very time we need to draw closer to God. Verse 11, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. As I say, many thousands and thousands of people have known that refreshing, re-energizing and renewing of God, particularly in difficult moments. And Horatio Spafford also held on to his faith in God. These words he wrote quite soon after arriving in the UK, in Cardiff actually, to join up with his wife. He writes to Anna's half-sister, on Thursday last, we passed over the spot where the ship, went down. In mid-ocean, the waters are 3 miles deep. But I do not think of our dear ones there. They are safe, dear lambs. And we can see that in his hymn, that hope. In the middle section of the hymn, he talks about his faith and his deep belief in Jesus in this life. But when he gets to verse 5, it's filled with the hope of a heavenly reunion. That place where we will once again meet those that we have loved and lost in this life. For him, his four beautiful daughters and his two sons. Let me continue on with the story. Following this deep tragedy, Anna gave birth to 3 more children, but she and Horatio were not spared even more sadness. On February 11th, 1880, their only son, Horatio, named after his brother and his father, once again died, age 4. In 1881, the Spaffords left America with a number of other like-minded Christians, and they settled in Jerusalem. There they served the needy and the poor, and they cared for the sick and took in homeless children. Their desire, it seems, was to show those living about them the simple love of Jesus in practical ways. Horatio Spafford died of malaria on the 16th of October 1888. Anna Spafford continued to work in the surrounding areas of Jerusalem until her own death in 1923. Both Horatio and Anna were laid to rest in Jerusalem, and I suppose it truly can be said, in his words, that summed up that tragedy, both of him and his wife, Anna, it is well with their souls. So today we have found ourselves in a difficult place as we have talked about the story of the hymn, as we have reflected on Psalm 42. But amidst all of that, there is deep hope. What are we facing today? What are we facing this week? Well, without sounding trite or lightening our experience, whatever we face, I think we too can come to God. We can drink from God's presence quietly, and we can be refreshed, re-energized, and renewed to give us the hope and the courage to keep going, to give us the faith to keep going, and be able to say, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Let's stand and sing this beautiful hymn together, knowing a little bit more of the death and the tragedy and the hope of its words. It is well with my soul.